Paul is saying that the presence of the Holy Spirit, which we enjoy in this world, is the first installment of more to come.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
In this day and age, I think we would probably all agree there are not many certainties. There are not many promises or guarantees that you and I can count on. I think there's an abundant evidence for that. Many things we take for granted in a civilized society seem to substantiate this fact. And those many things that we take for granted in this civilized society are a revelation of the awfulness of sin. For example, in our culture, a promise is not enough. We need a contract, and it must be notarized and verifiable. In our culture, doors are not enough. We have to lock and bolt them. There aren't many certainties in our day and age, not many guarantees. The payment of fares is not enough. Tickets have to be issued, inspected, and collected. And all of that is nothing other than a terrible indictment of human nature, our fallenness. It's a revelation of the character of sin, and it's an explanation of the abundance of uncertainties that surround our very way of life. We have no human guarantees, but God is different than all of that. God is faithful, the Bible says. And when the Bible says that God is faithful, it means that He's reliable, that He is dependable. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 24, "Faithful is He that calleth you." Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians the 5th chapter in verse 24. God is different. And I believe that's the theme of Paul's emphasis in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 in particular. Every one of us should thank God for the sure and certain blessings that belong to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should be motivated to stand in a continuing relationship of love and obedience before Him on the basis of those blessings. In this passage, Paul gives a twofold basis for the Christian guarantee or certainty. He says, number one, that He sealed us. That's verse 13. Number two, he says, He secured us. He made us secure. He becomes our earnest. And we'll explain that term, and most of you are in one way or another probably already somewhat acquainted with that term. One, He sealed us, verse 13. Two, He secured us in verse 14. As I look at verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, that is, in the Lord Jesus Christ, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There are really three ideas in that verse that kind of unfold every man's spiritual biography. It's a description of precisely what happened to you and I as we became Christians. The Bible says you heard, you believed, you were sealed. Can you see them there in verse 13? You heard, you believed, you were sealed. Those are three steps in every man's spiritual biography. If you're saved, you went through every one of those steps. Paul says that's what the Ephesians did. You heard, that's intellectual. You believed, that's volitional. And then you were sealed. That's spiritual. You were sealed. Do you notice he says there in the latter part of verse 13? You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That is, with the promised Holy Spirit. What does it mean for the Holy Spirit to be our seal? Sphragizo is the Greek word, seal. It was a very powerful word in the ancient world. And it really spoke of four things. Let me give them to you very quickly in outline fashion. In the ancient world, the seal was a sign of a finished transaction. Even in our day, when legal documents are processed, they are stamped with an official seal to signify the completion of the transaction. But then it also meant it was a sign of ownership. In the ancient world, a seal was not only a sign of a finished transaction, but it was also a sign of ownership. And Paul says the indwelling Holy Spirit represents the divine brand upon you and me. It's the mark that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the indisputable evidence that we belong to Him. He makes an indelible mark upon our lives, a significant impact, and that is proof positive that we belong to God. It's a sign of ownership, the seal was. The Holy Spirit is the seal. Sign of a finished transaction, sign of ownership, the sign of security. The seal on anything promised protection of that item. And then finally, the seal was a sign of authenticity. In the ancient world, it was a sign of a finished transaction, it was a sign of ownership, it was a sign of security or protection, and it was a sign or a mark of authenticity, a proof of genuineness. The seal of a man impressed upon a letter gave assurance that that letter was authentic. So what does Paul mean to teach us by that? Paul says the distinguishing mark between a professing and a possessing Christian is the undeniable impact of the indwelling Holy Spirit in his life. Though the mark of the Spirit is in the heart, it is made evident as we bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Whenever God's Spirit is at work in the life of a Christian, it means that a Christian will be 8 things. It means, number one, that he will be joyful, Ephesians 5:19, singing and making melody in his heart. A Christian will be thankful, Ephesians 5:20. He will be humble, Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, a humble spirit. Christians will be joyful, Ephesians 5, 19. They will be thankful, Ephesians 5, verse 20. They will be humble, Ephesians 5, verse 21. They will be spiritual, Galatians 5, and verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Christians will be vocal, Acts 4, and verse 31. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They'll be agreeable. They'll have an agreeable spirit. Philippians 2, verses 13 and 14. And they'll be powerful. Acts 1 and verse 8, the scripture says, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 1 and verse 8. And they'll be fruitful. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Those are the visible evidences up on the surface that God's Spirit is at work in our hearts down underneath. The seal is an evidence of authenticity, a sign of authenticity. Let me give you the outline of verse 14. He not only sealed us, he secured us. This is the Christian guarantee. He not only sealed us, he secured us. Do you notice? Which is the earnest of our inheritance, that is the Holy Spirit, is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The source of this security is the earnest. The Holy Spirit is the seal and he's the earnest. Paul's word earnest, arabone is the word, was a regular feature of the Greek business world. The earnest was the first installment of a payment, the first installment which promised the rest would be forthcoming. The earnest was a part of the purchase price of anything, maybe a house or a piece of property, paid in advance as a guarantee. This is the Christian guarantee. That's what the Holy Spirit is. As a guarantee that the rest would be paid in due time. In classical Greek, it meant a down payment. In modern Greek, you know what it means? It's an engagement ring. An engagement ring is a promise of more to come. Maybe some got more than they bargained for, but it's a promise of more to come. It's a guarantee, an assurance that promises will be kept. I've made promises and I'm going to keep them. And the visible evidence of that is that engagement ring. So Paul is saying that the presence of the Holy Spirit, which we enjoy in this world, is the first installment of more to come. It's only a foretaste of the blessedness that we will enjoy in the world to come. It is the guarantee that someday we will enter into the full possession of the blessedness of God. Paul says the richest blessings which this world can afford are only faint, and the accent is on that word faint, only faint foretastes of the incredible joy and wealth into which we will one day enter. It is as if God had given us enough to whet our appetites for more and enough to make us certain that someday he'll give us all. That's coming to us. The best is yet to come, and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is the guarantee that we will receive it. So he gives us the source of this security, the earnest, the scope of it. He says, until the redemption of the purchased possession. The purchased possession is the body, the whole man. And Paul means that our salvation is holistic. The whole man, spirit, soul, and body will be saved. You know, when you think of redemption, there are really three tenses to it. There's an immediate effect, that's regeneration, by which we're introduced to the peace of God. There's a continuing effect, that's sanctification, by which we're introduced to the grace of God. And there's the ultimate effect, which we might call glorification, by which we're introduced to the glory of God. That's the final phase of redemption. And that is the emphasis here. Paul says the final phase of the redemptive process will take place. We've received the peace of God, we have the grace of God to sustain us, and someday we'll be introduced to the very glory of God, and you can be absolutely certain that it will take place. The earnest, the Holy Spirit, will see to it. In that day we'll be given new bodies, which will be set free from the double burden of their frailty and their fallenness, and our resurrection bodies will have new undreamed of properties and powers, and no indwelling sin. That's eternal security. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. He'll see us all the way through so that we're saved not only spirit and soul, but spirit, soul, and body. Powerful salvation. You notice the sequel or the effect of this security? It's all unto the praise of His glory. Unto the praise of His glory. Why did God make us His people? If we could look at Ephesians 1 more carefully, three times He tells us why He made us His people. To the praise of the glory of His grace, verse 6. That we should be to the praise of His glory, verse 12. Unto the praise of His glory, verse 14. So that His glorious being and His glorious work should be praised and could be praised, both here and now and throughout all eternity. That's why God made us His people. We're to praise His glorious being and work. But you know, that kind of talk comes into violent collision with the man-centeredness and the self-centeredness of our world. This whole idea of performing God's will and praising God's glory is not warmly received in our world. Fallen man, imprisoned in his own little ego, has an almost boundless confidence in the power of his own will, and he has an almost boundless appetite for the praise of his own glory, not God's. But you and I are different. God's people are supposed to be different. You and I have been sealed and secured by God's Holy Spirit. We have begun to be turned inside out. We're new creatures. We have new values, new ideals. We have a whole new destiny, and it's a guaranteed destiny. And so we live by a different set of standards. We live by God's will, and we live for God's glory. So Paul says, here's the Christian guarantee. You have a great security. It's based on the fact that God's Spirit has sealed you and God's Spirit has secured you, verses 13 and 14. And I think he'd ask us, are you the people who have heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation? Are you that people? Are you the people who, having heard, have now believed and as a result have been sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise? Are you that people? If not, why not? Have you heard, believed, and been sealed? If not, you should come to Christ. Hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and as you believe, you will be sealed until the day of redemption. Is it true that you have been sealed and secured? You say, Pastor, I have been. I've been saved many years. Good. But let me ask you this as I close. Is there any evidence up on the surface of the Spirit's presence at work in your life? He's the seal. He's the evidence of genuineness. Is there any evidence up on the surface of the Spirit's presence at work in your life? Are you joyful? Are you thankful? Are you humble, submitting to one another? Are you spiritual, walking in the Spirit? Are you vocal, an obedient messenger for Jesus Christ? Are you agreeable, doing all things without murmurings and disputings? Are you powerful? Is God at work in your life? Are you fruitful? Is there any evidence that God's Spirit is at work in your life, or is His presence stifled and is it quenched? Do you live so that His will shall be done and His glory shall be praised? Do I? Or are we more interested in performing our own will than praising our own glory? I think these are the probing questions that emerge from Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Paul wants us to see what we were. And that should make us thankful when we realize what we've become in Christ.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.